eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
You're about to talk to me.
You're about to talk to me.
Let this word come alive, Lord.
Let this word come alive.
So that I can understand.
So that I can understand.
The purpose of leadership.
The purpose of leadership
is to mature the saints.
Is to mature the saints.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen. In 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, I'm going to just give you one verse in chapter 4 because that's what I heard this afternoon. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 14 is what he really pressed in. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. I repeat. St. Paul is telling Timothy, his spiritual son, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So, if you back that up to 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if you realize that Paul is writing to Timothy, who is now really leading a group of people, and he's giving them insight into the things that are going to happen. But he's also reminding him of his beginning. So he says, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, verse 3, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. So again, the works that God is trying to make him aware of is without your faith, you're not going to get any success. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turn to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. So if you're going to use the law to down someone or down yourself, be careful, because you're going to end up in a real emergency ward. And I pray that it's Anne that's going to direct you into that surgery. You know, we laugh, but a mature person will be guiding you without you going into a guilt trip or a condemning trip. He or she will teach you by love how you're going to make it to victory.
Amen.
Okay? Now, again, we know, verse 8, that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreaker and the rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, that conform to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, who he entrusted to me. Now I'm going to have you skip over, and you can check this out on your own, but I want you to go to verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. Now, why am I skipping there? Because the goal is to find out what the gifts are and how you got them and why you have them. They're not all about you. They're about God's plan to use those gifts for the ones that he chooses for you to minister to. Okay? So again, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are, and he's giving Hymenaeus, Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. You say, ooh, that's a real sour subject. It may be, but Paul is obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I would definitely say that in all the years that I've been serving the Lord, there was one time in the ministry that the Lord told me to use that one term. And it was so hard for me because I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I told the Lord, I says, I'm seeing what you're saying, but I just can't. And the Lord told me to be patient with myself, okay? Because this individual was doing so much harm that there had to be an adjustment. And the goal of that is when you are handing, you know, someone over to the enemy to be adjusted, and the goal is to have them turn around and come back to the Lord.
Amen.
Not to destroy them.
Right.
So that took a while because I was relatively new in the Lord. But you see, some people use this as a legal term, and they use it to down the body of Christ because they're trying to control. And when a leader is trying to control you or me, it is not of the Lord. You are to be guided into that operating room. There has to be someone out there overseeing that surgery, because you don't want to come out there all infected. Place has got to be clean. The person who's bringing in me and you into the surgical area, they have to be wearing the right items. They have to be, everything has to be clean, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not COVID. You know, I'm not trying to tease here. I am saying, however, that there is such a thing as responsibility for leadership. And some use it for the wrong motives. And you can tell by the fruit. So I would say this to you. St. Paul is warning Timothy here. He's giving them insight so that he doesn't have the same results as these people who have turned against Paul. Again, Paul was warning them. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. That includes presidents. Amen. That we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. I want you to make sure that you see the word the man. He is a man. He was a man in the earth. And he's still a man with flesh and blood. I'm sorry, with flesh and bone. The blood has been poured out. Okay, verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly, etc. And I don't want to go there. Chapter 3, verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer or a bishop, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. In my Bible, I've got that circled in red. The reason that it's circled in red is because I saw and experienced some of that. And I wanted to be able to say, I've tasted what that does, and it's ugly. You can sense it inside yourself that you're being seduced. And you can feel the pressure that if you don't put something in the pot, in the plate, you're in trouble. And they're watching. And there's pressure even in that respect. So that's one of the reasons why we don't have a collection box that goes around or a plate. Verse 4. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now, you see, you may have broken families in leadership. That's not a call to judge or condemn. That's not the point. But he's really saying, if you can't take care of your children and you don't have a good relationship with your children, that's a bad thing. And here you are wanting to be an overseer or a bishop, and you don't have a good, loving relationship with your family, there's something wrong. That doesn't mean your family's all obedient. That doesn't mean all your family can be believers, because some will be and some won't. There are situations where I've seen both sides, that they were believers for a season and they walked away. That's their privilege. And they're not to be judged or condemned by that. Amen? Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Don't you like that one? He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Now, we heard about the devil's trap with a driver earlier. A little trap can teach you more than a lesson that you're taught over and over until the cows come home. Because that little experience in the car made you aware of something that you didn't need to be yelled at. You didn't need to have somebody scream at you. But Holy Spirit brought it out. And that's the gift of the Spirit. He brought the truth out to you. And you were able to make the adjustment. And even then it went one step further, which is awesome. And you say, well, you know, it wasn't that much fun. But when you see something that you've done, or your mouth went off in the wrong direction, run to the Holy Spirit. Run to your counselor. That's what you have the counsel for, and the reality of the comfort that he will bring, so that you will come out of the experience saying, you know what? I was learning more than I expected. I saw something in myself that I could not see before. I thought I was normal. Now I'm finding that there's a normal part of me that needs to go. And it needs to be eradicated. And when I see it, and I humble myself before the Lord, which is James 4, when you humble yourself before the Lord, you resist the enemy. He has to leave. He has no choice. He's been orchestrated out. And many, many times, leadership that is not trained in love will fail the person that they're counseling or helping or trying to help. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 6. Seven. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into the disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. Then must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons, etc. So, in the same way, their wives, etc., verse 14, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillars and foundation of the truth. Beyond all questions, the mysteries of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory. There's a whole big pile of education just in that one verse. All I can say to you is, if he appeared in a body for the vindication of the Spirit, by the Spirit, and was seen by angels and people. You see, Jesus is still going around appearing to people. He hasn't stopped. He's making himself known by his Spirit to every single one of us. Verse 1 of chapter 4, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Now I say this to you not to condemn anyone, because you need to respect your brother or sister, or both. But the point that I'm trying to bring out here is, you know, a short prayer over your food when you go out to lunch, a short prayer before you eat, is definitely a godly thing to do. You don't need to be making a big demonstration, but just a word of prayer. And, you know, you're living and you're bringing in food into your body. Well, obviously, it's been handled by many people. Whatever it is, wherever it came from, a short prayer, doesn't have to be 3 feet long. Just thank you, Lord. Bless this food. Make it holy. Amen. You know, it's enough. But it's a practical thing that some just don't bother with. My concern is to try to ask the Lord, remind me to just say a simple prayer before I eat. And that way there, what you receive will bring an abundance for you. And obviously, if there is something negative, it will be eliminated. Because again, the Lord knows that your words have power. That's what we started to talk about a little earlier. When you're condemning yourself and you're criticizing yourself, you're doing something to your own body. But if you're blessing yourself, what happens? A whole chain of events takes place. and it won't return void. It's going to produce some godly things. Now again, verse 14, do not neglect your gifts, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who are listening to you. That's my version. The reason I'm bringing this out, that I sense the Holy Spirit was trying to push, is that the gifts of the Spirit are absolutely necessary for you today. Without those gifts, you're going to be challenged. Without the revelations that He's capable of giving you through dreams, through visions, through words of knowledge, through the laying on of hands, I can say that the young man we prayed for on Sunday had a good-sized miracle happen on Monday. And I made him aware that we would be giving him a copy of the words that were spoken over him. And one of the words that were spoken over him had already been spoken over him probably about 10 years ago. And no one knew what that word was until it was literally brought out into the open and confirmed. See, everything is going to be confirmed in two or three witnesses. I can tell you this, in my walk with God, there were times when God provided incredible words of knowledge. They were there to encourage me as I walked forward, as I tried to obey the Lord as best that I could. But there was always a war going on because I didn't understand. I needed comprehension. I needed counsel. Okay? And to be very truthful, back in 86 or 85, I think it was, when we started the Prayer and Counseling Center, I went to a service. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was somebody that came from Washington State, and they knew nothing about me. But at that time, I did not know what the different colors were and what they meant. But that was the word that came out from the speaker. Oh, I see you all orange. Well, I didn't know what that meant. So I really tried to figure out, Lord, what does that mean, I'm all orange? You know, later on, I learned that that was the spirit of counsel. So a little education goes a long way. And see, when that was confirmed again and again, I said to the Lord, you know, I know that I have this ability that people are drawn to me when they're in trouble. Well, you know, there's all kinds of people in the earth. But ever since I'm a kid, you know, people come to me with their problems. Well, I didn't know that that was a gift that was in me from the beginning. After I look back and I see the pieces to the puzzle that God was forming, I see then there was a gift in there. And that gift needed to be released into the body of believers and the choice to go forward. Now, you say, well, I know some of your story, but how come you went from place to place? Well, in my experience, there are seasons in our lives. And some of those seasons are going to be for a certain purpose. And then you kind of mature in it. You walk. You keep on going. The Lord says, okay, now it's time to readjust you and get you on a new training period. And you might need a different train. And you're going to have a different experience. And you're also going to have presses that are going to come into you from the Lord that will kind of press you forward. And that's a gift as well. Those gifts are not to be lightly received. They're to be paid attention to. Just like St. Paul is saying to Timothy here, look, do not neglect your gifts, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. I can tell you that if it wasn't for the laying on of hands, for the years that I've been at this, I don't know if I would have made it. Because that's what the pieces to the puzzle that would readjust, that would take out the broken parts of whatever is going on in my life and readjust so that I could have, let's say, the courage to keep on going and the willingness created in me when the confirmations would come. See, without the confirmations, what have you got? Ho-hum. Depression. Oh my God. It couldn't have been God when I heard that word. Well, maybe it was God. But the only way you're really going to find out is when you re-listen to what was spoken over you, when people had no clue about who you were in Christ, and it's confirmed over and over and over. We have an attorney from Cape Cod that came here about 10 years ago, right, John?
Yep.
Okay.
11
years now? Yep. Okay. And I didn't remember this, but John reminded me, I don't know, within the past year. He said, you called me and told me I had to come to church that night. I didn't remember I called him at all, but he remembered. So anyway, he did come. And the prophetic word was given to him. Jay, right? Attorney Jay. So he prophesied over John. We made a copy of the words and we gave it to him. And about, I would say, 8 years later,
I'm not sure you're going to say it with other
parts. Well, it's Susan that confirmed it over and over.
2007, yeah.
So about 7 or 8 years later, the same words were given to him.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, what if he didn't pay attention? What if he just kind of ho-hummed it? Would God be able to graduate him to that place? And I'm picking on him. I do pick on him once in a while. But the bottom line, I picked on him last night.
Oh, boy.
But he wasn't guilty. I had to apologize. What I'm trying to make you aware of is, without those gifts and the laying on of hands and the declarations of the Word of the Living God through people who don't know what you received 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, or 5 months ago, or 6 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. What you need to know is there will be confirming and reconfirming so that you will know that it's established and it will take place. That's how you learn if it was a true word from God or if it was a word to please somebody else. Because I've received that kind of word as well. Oh, you're going to do fine. I can see you so loaded with money. And I kept thinking, whoa. Because you see, God has never done that with me. He never downloaded the, $2 million drawing in my wallet. He didn't do that. But when people would speak that, it was almost like I would reject it. Because I knew that's not the nature of God with me. Now, he might do that to somebody else, but it's just not what he's done with me. He sustained me. He kept me. And he kept me going, but it was different than what some of those prophetic words were. Oh, you're going to be rich. Oh, you need to be rich. Well, yeah, it's wonderful if you're rich. But if you don't know how to carry yourself in the moment right now, under the anointing that you have at the moment, if you did get rich, how long would you stay rich? And I can tell you that I've listened to some of the reports that people who run the lottery and made big amounts of money, and the next thing you know, 2 years, a year, and they're broke again. Why? Because they didn't discern how to take care of what they had. Okay? So keep in mind that the gifts that you have been given are for the body and for you and for your family. And those gifts require that you pay attention to what you have. Pay attention that God took time to give it to you. You should be able to say, okay, I'm willing to go forward with it. And then to grow up and mature with it. Because what you do with the knowledge that you have when the gift is given is different than when you mature. When you mature, you have more discernment. You're able to see through the deception more quickly, more easily, and you won't get caught like you would when you're a young believer. When I was a young believer, I was very vulnerable. And I could have got damaged, and I did. I did get damaged. I had to overcome and forgive. That's the gift from God. So would you just lift one hand to the Lord? Say, Holy Spirit, the gifts you've given are not going to go to waste. I give you praise, Lord. Keep downloading more. I need a lot more. I want to be like Jesus. It's not just a song to make me feel good. It is a reality. We need to be with Him. And filled with His presence. And operate under His anointing. So that this world will be transformed. And this nation will be changed. As the love of Jesus flows out of me. And touches the hearts. And bodies. Of those that are more broken than me. I can be an evangelist. And tell the person that you give me, Lord, that they can also have the gifts and be transformed and healed. Because that's what Jesus came for. Transformation and recreation of the human race. He did it all. He gave it all. And we are the recipients of all the gifts of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, let them not be wasted. In Jesus' name I pray.